And he felt something hot. And he felt something hot going down his throat. And he swallowed. He had no choice. They were holding his mouth open. And he swallowed. He had no choice. They were holding his mouth open. And all of a sudden, after he swallowed, he tasted in his mouth honey. He tasted honey. He thought, listen, maybe I died. And I'm just like in some kind of a dream, and I think it was honey. Am I still alive after drinking the hot metal? But in his mouth, it tasted like sweet honey. And he didn't feel himself like he was dead. He felt his feet. He felt his hands, even though they were tied up. All of a sudden, he hears a voice. Untie his feet and his hands. He felt them untying his feet and his hands. Then he hears a voice. Untie the black shmata. He feels these hands untying the black shmata. Then he hears a voice saying, you two big men, get out of here. Get out of this room. And then he hears the men getting out of the room. And then, all of a sudden, he feels a hand unwrapping the black shmata. And he sees the poet's face looking at him. And all of a sudden, the poet was not a mean-looking face now. He was smiling. He says, Yankel, come upstairs. I want to have a talk with you. Yankel thought maybe he was dead and all of this is some kind of a big dream. What's going on? The Paretz is telling him to come upstairs. He wants to have a talk. He's smiling. The Paretz leaves. The door is open. Yankel thought maybe he could run away. Maybe he's alive. He could run away. But of course, he's going to have to run through the Poritz's house to run away, and they're going to catch him. He'll go upstairs, and he'll see what happens upstairs. Yankel goes out the door, past all the jail cells, up the stairs, and he's in the basement of the castle. He goes up the steps of the basement into the dining room, and over there, the Poritz is sitting at a table. Next to the Poritz is a comfortable chair, and on the table is a tray of kosher food. He recognized the food that the Yidden have from the town with the best hekshedim is sitting on the table in unopened packages, and also a bowl of fruit. And the Poritz says to Yankel, sit down, have something to eat, you must be starving. Yankel's holding his head. I must be dreaming. I must be imagining. This whole thing is a dream. He pinches himself. He sees if he's still alive, he's still awake, what's going on? The Poritz is smiling, he sits down. He thinks maybe this is some kind of a trick now. Maybe the Poritz is playing a trick on him. He sits down, he looks at the food, he sees it's really kosher food from the town, from the Yiddish store. The Poritz says, Yankel, you could eat it, for sure. Make a bracha and eat the food, and I'm going to explain everything. Yankel was starving, he ate the food, and the Poritz says, Yankel, let me ask you a question. You're a teacher of the little kids, right? Did you ever have a goy in your class? Yankel says, well, no. I teach the cheder from Kinnelach, from Yiddish Kinnelach. We daven, we learn chumash, we say tehillim, we learn shulchan aruch. I mean, it's a Yiddish cheder. We don't have goyim in the cheder. The goyim go to a different school on the other side of the town. And the Parrot says, think very carefully, Yanko. Many years ago, after all, I see you're not a young man. Yanko was an older man. Many years ago, didn't you ever have a boy who wasn't Jewish in your cheder? Think very carefully. Yanko fought back many years before, and all of a sudden he remembered something. He says to the Poritz, well, kind of. I kind of had a boy who wasn't Jewish in my class for a while, but he wasn't really in my class, he was just in the room. And the Poritz says, tell me about it. Tell me about that. Who was that boy? How did you have this boy in your cheder? And now Yankel tells the Poritz what he remembers from many years ago. And Yankel says, many years ago, it was the winter, there was snow outside, it was freezing cold, and my kinderlach, they come to my cheder, were sitting in the room, a room in my house, and they were learning, and the fire was burning in the house, it was nice and warm, and I was going around making sure the kinderlach are pointing in the chumash and saying nice, and all of a sudden I saw outside of the window in the snow, something is moving. It was snowing. And something is moving through the snow. At first I thought it was a bear or some kind of a wild animal. And I looked closely and I saw it looked like a little boy. Like a little boy in a big coat and he's going through the snow. I think to myself, in such a freezing cold day, in such a snow, what's a little boy doing outside walking and by himself? He didn't have a tati with him or a mommy. He was just going by himself. And Yankel says, I was worried. Who is this little boy? And what's he doing by himself? So I put on my coat. I went outside in the snow. And I went over to the little boy. And I said to him in Yiddish, I said, little boy, Kleine Yingle, wo gehst du? Where are you going? Wo bist du? Who are you? The little boy didn't answer me. He looked at me, and I saw he didn't understand what I'm saying. And when I looked at his face, I saw it didn't look like a Yiddish upon him. It didn't look like a Jewish face. It looked like a boy who's not Jewish. But Hashem made everything in the world and all people in the world. And I felt very bad for this boy who was in the cold. After all, he felt cold. Doesn't matter if he's Jewish or not, that he feels cold and he's all alone. Maybe he's lost. So I said, little boy, come with me and you'll warm up. The little boy looked so thankful that somebody cared about him. And I brought the little boy into the cheder. I gave my kinderlach recess. And I brought him over. I gave him something warm to drink. I gave him some blankets. And I started to talk to him. And I said in his language, little boy, where are you going? Who are you? Where are your parents? What are you doing in the snow all alone? And the little boy said, I'm on my way to my uncle in the faraway city. And your uncle said to the little boy, where's your mommy and your daddy? The little boy says, I don't have a mommy and I don't have a daddy. Nobody's taking care of me. And all I know is far away in the big city, over the mountain, there's my uncle. He lives there. And I'm trying to go to my uncle that he should take care of me. And Yankel said, look, there's so much snow outside, I don't know how a little boy is going to go by himself over the big mountain in this big snow. So the little boy starts to cry, so where am I going to go? Who will take care of me? And Yankel said to the little boy, look, You could stay in my house for the winter until the winter is over. And I will take care of you, and my wife will take care of you. And you could stay here, and you could help, you could do things around the house, and we'll give you food, and we'll give you clothes, and it'll be warm in the house. And after the winter, when the snow is melted, we'll help you to find your uncle on the other side of the big mountain in the big city. And the little boy said, oh, thank you. That would be so wonderful. What can I do to help in your house? The uncle said, look, I'm a teacher of little kids. We need wood to burn in the stove that it should be warm. We need somebody to help do things and to clean up. And we need somebody to help get water and get things and get food. So you'll be a helper around the house, and we'll take care of you. So each day, this little boy would sit in the cheder, off to the side. He didn't understand too much of what was going on, at least at first. And he used to help, and he used to do things around the cheder. And the other boys liked him. He was a nice little boy. They even used to play with him. And when the class went on to learn, the little boy would sit off to the side and just play or do things. And as the time went on, he was able to learn a little bit of Yiddish because the kids would speak to him in Yiddish. They taught him some Yiddish. And he would understand some of the things that Reb Yankel was saying. And remember, the Poritz is telling Reb Yankel this story. I'm sorry. Reb Yankel is telling the Poritz this story. The little boy would understand a little bit what was going on. And I remember that when I would tell stories, the little boy would sit there sometimes and listen to the stories. And the winter went by, and when the snow melted and you could travel on the roads, we helped the little boy go over the mountain, and we found his uncle. And over there, he stayed with his uncle, and his uncle said thank you. And that was many years ago. We never saw the little boy again. That was many, many years ago. So your question, the Poritz had asked the question to Yankel, did he ever have a boy who wasn't Jewish in his cheder? So he said this was kind of like having a boy in the cheder who wasn't Jewish, because not really he was in the class, but he used to sit by the side and he used to listen sometimes, and other times just play or help. And the Poritz smiled and he said, Reb Yankel, I have news for you. I know what happened to that little boy. I happen to know who he is. Reb Yankel says, oh, really? Well, who is it? And the Poritz said, it's me. That little boy was me. And I grew up to become the Poritz. Reb Yankel was so surprised. You? You were the little boy that was in my cheder? And the Poritz said to Reb Yankel, I'll tell you something. That was so many years ago, and I had gone through so many things and so many changes, I had completely forgotten about that whole thing. And when you walked in this afternoon, all of a sudden I recognized you. I hadn't thought about you for so many years. I recognized you are the one that saved me from the snow. And you took me into your house. And you were so nice to me. And you gave me food and you gave me clothes. And you helped me to go to my uncle. I had completely forgotten all about that. And when I saw you, I remembered everything. And at first, the first thing I thought in my mind, what can I do for you to pay you back something? To give you back something in return for you, what you did to me. I thought to myself, should I just say, yes, I'll be good to the Jews of the town? That's what you came for. Should I give you money? And all of a sudden, I remembered something that you said to your little kids and your cheder, because I remembered some of the stories you told. I was able to understand some of the stories. And I remembered that you said, what is the greatest thing that a Jew could have? What is the best thing that a Jew could have? So you used to say that better than money and silver and gold is mitzvahs. Now, I remember you used to talk about mitzvahs. But then I remember a certain story you told. What is the greatest mitzvah, the hardest mitzvah, that would give a Jew the greatest bracha from Hashem and the greatest place in Gan Eden? And you told your kids a story about Kiddush Hashem, that if a person gives up their life for Hashem, they give up their life for Hashem, that is the most difficult and the highest thing to do. Not only a person, you said, gives money for Hashem, or gives time for Hashem, or gives his koyach for Hashem. Sometimes a person might have to give up his life for Hashem. And you said, if a person would do that, to give up his life for Hashem, he gets the highest place in Gan Eden, and he is the closest to Hashem. And you used to say to your kinalach, to be close to Hashem is the best thing there could be. And I remembered you said that. So I thought to myself, what is the best thing I can give you? The best thing I can give you is a chance to go on Kiddush Hashem, to give your life up for Hashem. Now, I wasn't going to kill you. But what I thought was, I'm going to make some kind of a trick to give you a chance to give up your life for Hashem. Because he used to say, if you go to do a mitzvah, and you want to do the mitzvah, and something happens that you're not able to do the mitzvah, and it's not your fault, you said Hashem gives you the mitzvah just like you did it. You get just like you had done the mitzvah from Hashem. You tried, you did everything you could, something happened to stop you. If it hadn't stopped you, you would have done it completely. So you said that Hashem makes it just like you had done the mitzvah. You also told your kids that. So I said like this, the best thing I can do, I'll give you a chance to give up your life for Hashem. Of course, I'm not going to do it, but that's not your business. I'm not going to actually take your life. But you will do everything you can to give your life for Hashem. And that way, I'm giving you the best thing you could possibly have, the mitzvah of giving your life for Hashem. Because even though you won't really do it, you tried to do it, and you did everything you had to do it. So Hashem will give you the mitzvah like you gave your life for Hashem. And so I locked you up in the dungeon. And you didn't know what I was planning. And I came down with my big strong men, and I had the wagon with the boiling metal. And you thought I was really going to feed it to you and make you swallow it. And I blindfolded you with the black shmate. And I got ready to pour it down your throat. And you said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elkeinu, Hashem Echad. And you were ready to give your life for Hashem. So you did everything you had to do. You were ready to go. So I knew at that point, you had the mitzvah for yourself of Kiddush Hashem. What did I do? I didn't have to kill you now. I gave you honey to drink. And then, of course, I took off the black shmate and I brought you upstairs. And now you should eat some regular food. Don't worry, Yankel. You can go home. And because you came to me, if anybody else would have come to me, this wouldn't have happened. Because when I get in a bad mood, I get in a bad mood. And when I make up my mind to do something, usually I just do it and nothing can change my mind. That's the way my mind works. But when I saw you today, I remembered everything you'd done for me. That was the smartest thing that rabbi, who did you say sent you? Who told you to come? Didn't you say that somebody told you to come to me? Your Rebbe Yankel says, hey, the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov sent me to come. He chose me to come from all of the town. And I thought to myself, why me? Who am I? And the Parat said, you've got a great rabbi there because you were exactly the right one that did what you did to come to me And that's the only thing that could have helped, that I should remember all those good things you did for me. And so Kindalach, Rabbi Yankel went home, and he told everybody in the town what had happened. And everybody, number one, thanked Hashem for the great kindness that Hashem saved them. And also, Kindalach, those people that had not known how great is the Baal Shem Tov, and they didn't know how great a tzaddik with Ruach HaKadosh was the Baal Shem Tov, they saw from this that the Baal Shem Tov is such a halakha tzaddik with Ruach HaKadosh, because a lot of people were saying, who is Yankel the Malamed to go to the Paretz? Who is this Baal Shem Tov that sends a Malamed to go to the Paretz? What for? And they saw that this was exactly the best thing that could have been. And that day was a special day in the town. They made a big simcha and a big yontiv, and they were singing and dancing. And that is the end of this maise. Okay, Kenalach, here's the story now. A very interesting story. And this takes place in Eretz Israel. And there was a city called Lod. Actually, it's still there. Sitting in the gate of the city by the wall was a tzaddik named... His name was Rebbe Abba. Now, Rebbe Abba was sitting in the gate of Lod. Probably he was learning Torah or saying Tehillim. Or maybe he was a judge that took care of arguments and things of the Beis Din, that when they were in the gate of the city. And he was sitting at the gate of the city, looking over the road, out into the fields, because the road goes out into the fields in the country outside of the city of Lod. And he notices there's a man walking down the road far away, and he's coming towards the city of Lod. But he was walking like he was shikur or something. Rabbi Abba thinks, why is he walking so mishkababli like that, back and forth? He's like going back and he's going forth and he's going this way and that way. And Rabbi Abba saw that this man was very tired. It wasn't that he was shikur. This man probably had been traveling for a long time and he was very tired. So that's what he could tell. He must have been coming from a far, far trip. And all of a sudden, the man decided that he cannot even make it all the way to the city. He's so tired. He's going to lie down close by to the city. And he went over to a churban, a house that was all knocked down, that was by the side of the road. There was a few houses that were all like knocked down, parts of them that were fallen down, and the roof was caved in, and the walls were falling, and the windows were broken. A churban. Now, this man lied down, he laid down in front of one of the walls, and he lied down on a board, and there was only like one wall over there with a part of another wall, and a part of the ceiling was still there. And Rabbi Abba worried about the man. It doesn't look too safe to sleep in that place. First of all, there's wild animals. Second of all, we learned that you shouldn't go by yourself into a churban. Third of all, these buildings were very shaky. Something could happen. And Rabbi Abba was thinking about this man. He's a little bit worried about him when all of a sudden, a big poisonous snake started to crawl across one of the branches of a tree, down on the ground, over the rocks, and right to the place where the man was sleeping on the board. Now Rabbi Abba was too far away to do anything about it, and he tried to scream to the man, "Get up, get up! A poison snake is coming towards you!" But the man was already sound asleep because he was so tired. And Rabbi Abba was so worried, oh no, what's going to happen? The poisonous snake will get to the man and bite him. He could die, chas v'shalom. All of a sudden, right before the snake got to the man, a piece of the ceiling, a big piece of the ceiling, all of a sudden fell down and hit the head of the snake and squished it. And the snake was dead before it could bite the man who was sleeping. Rabbi Abba said, look, Anes, this man was saved because a piece of the ceiling fell down just in time to squish the snakey's head, the cup from the schlang. That was a mess. That was a real miracle that I just saw. All of a sudden, the man woke up, probably from the noise, and he sees a poison snake right next to him with a squishy head under a big piece of ceiling. Oh, where did this come from? Oh, this wasn't here a few minutes ago. I better get out of here. I don't want to sleep here with these snakes. And the man got up to leave. And as soon as he left, all of a sudden, Rabbi Abba saw that the whole wall that he was sleeping next to came tumbling down and crashed down all the rocks and all of the cement and all of the wood. Everything came down right on the board where the man was sleeping. And if he was still there, he would have gotten buried alive in all of the stuff that fell down. Rabbi Abba said, look, that also was a nes. Two nisim. One nes, that the snake didn't bite him, that the ceiling fell down at the right time and killed the snake. And the other nes, that he got up, and only after he got up, then the wall crashed down. It could have crashed down a few minutes before. He could have died. Rabbi Abba said to himself, this is no regular man. This must be a man that has a special mitzvah, that because of this special mitzvah, Hashem takes special care of him. Otherwise, why should two miracles happen to somebody right in the same time? He must be a special man with special mitzvahs. And as soon as the man came into the gate of Lod, Rabbi Abba got up and he ran over to him and he says, excuse me, I must find out, because I did see what happened to you. What special mitzvahs do you have? You were saved from two miracles. Think, tell me, what special mitzvahs do you have? And the man thought, I don't know if I really have any special mitzvahs. I try to be like any yid who keeps Hashem's Torah and does Hashem's mitzvahs. Rabbi Abba said, yes. I mean, all of Hashem's Torah and mitzvahs are very special, but you must have something maybe very special that you try to do. Oh yes, the man says, there is something that I try to do that is very hard for me, but I know it's right. Every night before I go to sleep, I do two things. I think over, who did I get angry at today? Who got me upset? Who did something that I might feel upset at them? And then what I do is, I try to get rid of any bad feelings. I try to think good about everybody and forget that I'm angry. And I think over, the other person is still a good person. And maybe they did it by accident. Maybe they were nervous. Maybe they didn't really mean it. And I make it like it never happened. And I'm not going to be angry at anybody. And I'm going to forgive everybody. Whoever did something wrong to me, I'll forgive them. That's the first thing I do. After that, I tell myself, no, that's not enough. Tomorrow, let's say his name is Reuven. Reuven did something that I'm very upset at him. So now tomorrow when I see Reuven, I'm not going to be mad at him. But that's not enough. Tomorrow when I see Reuven, not only I'm not going to be upset at him, I'm going to try to find something to do to help Reuven. I'm going to make Reuven happy and do something. I'll go out of my way to do some good thing for him. Maybe I'll lend him some money, or I'll help him carry a package, Or I ask him, how are you? What can I do for you? Or maybe I'll invite him over to eat something, or I'll give him part of my lunch. I'll be extra nice to the person that got me upset. So those are two things. One thing, I forgive them, and I erase it like it never happened. The second thing, I try to do something back good. He did to me bad, but I'm going to do back to him. You know what? Good. He did me bad, I'm going to get him back and do good. And so Rabbi Abba said, for these two things, you were zeicha to two miracles. Not only one miracle, but two miracles Hashem did for you, because you did such special things, Hashem did back to you special things. Mida keneged mida. The way we do things for Hashem, that's the way Hashem does things back for us. We go out of our way special to do for Hashem, Hashem goes out of his way to do special for us.